It's time for the greatest little internet radio show, Blow the Whistle. Always live on SportsTownChicago.com and on Twitch at SportsTownShot. Tyler, Butterball, Beaterball.
Jackson Mahomes.
Dude, you are so stupid. I knew this kid was going to be a complete meth, like a youth mess. Not meth. Sorry. Not meth.
That might be part of it.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you have learned that your brother doesn't even let you go on the field anymore to his games? He sticks you up in a freaking suite.
See, I think he needs to go to Allstate because when you're covered by mayhem,
you'll be better protected.
Andrew Pepe Ballantyne.
IMG Academy for being sold for $1.5 billion to the Endeavor Group who bought WWE and UFC.
No way.
Yeah. How can you say that high school's sports is not about business when the IMG Academy, who is supposed to be a legitimate high school, goes for $1.25 billion to Endeavor Corporation? Are you kidding me?
It's game time.
David, Double D Dykstra.
Not the sixth round.
Nah.
Not the seventh round.
Mm-mm.
Not even a free agent signee.
Nope.
You go out and draft your backup quarterback to Jordan Love. And yes, I said backup quarterback, because if you look at that quarterback room, nobody, nada, zip, zilch, nothing. For every Bears fan that is out there right now, hope and pray to God that Jordan Love twists his ankle so bad that you get to see this godforsaken mess that is Sean Mother Trucking Clifford.
That's gonna hurt.
Tyler Buterbaugh, Andrew Ballantyne, and David Dykstra. Your greatest little internet radio show everywhere you go.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Back for another episode this week. Not our usual, as we usually do once a
week.
Are
you going through puberty?
Yeah, what's happening? What is going on?
I'm not going
to. I know we're not used to doing Wednesdays, but like, come on, man.
We're here on a Wednesday with, as always, myself, Tyler Butterball Beaterball, along with
Andrew Pepe Ballantyne,
David Double D Hump Day Dykstra.
It is Hump Day.
Hey, okay,
throwing
okay,
another
okay,
nickname,
is,
I guess.
It is hump day. Come on. We had to throw it in there somewhere.
Of course. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are Blow the Whistle. And you can always find us on all social media platforms at Blow T Whistle 1, Blow W T W H I S T L E 1. And you can see our beautiful faces here on SportsTown, twitch.tv/SportsTownShy. Hello, people. Hello.
Make love to the camera, Tyler. Make love to it.
It's too far. Come here. But we're talking baseball today. Well, mainly baseball, as we just had the All-Star game, MLB All-Star game yesterday with the Home Run Derby as well.
By the way, just real quick, could that game have started out any better? Like, those two catches to start off the game.
Oh, it was great.
I mean, that was, I thought it was going to be something. After that, I was like, oh, yeah, this is, and then it clearly went to back to being the All-Star game.
That grabbed my attention, and then I just kind of lost attention. And then I got it back towards the end.
Got a couple highlights.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to weigh in on the NL and the AL Central as we are in the halfway mark, and those two divisions are, as we said earlier, hot garbage. And
hot garbage.
It's honestly up for grabs.
Este mucho caliente.
As you guys saw, we're going to talk to our very own buddy, voice of the Chicago Dogs, Sam Brief.
Chicago Dogs.
Sam Brief here towards the bottom of the hour. Talk a little bit the Northwestern scandal that's going on.
Yeah.
And he'll give
probably
us
probably talk a little dogs too.
We'll talk a little dogs.
They do have a home stand coming up this weekend.
I will
be PA-ing. Yay.
Oh yeah. I won't be there Friday.
Self-promotion.
There you go.
I won't be there Friday. I got the days mixed up.
Okay.
So
whatever.
Not with you. But anyways, full pack show on this.
I was hoping you son of a
he would have been mad. Behind
not the first time he's made promises and then bailed out. Just saying.
Oh, get over it.
That's usually the response I get.
Yeah. You'll be fine.
Stop being such a little whiner.
We don't know this, but you're breaking his heart every time you say you can't make it.
David, there's something that you need to tell me. You can lay it out there, buddy.
I do have a little bit of a bromance. I'm not going to lie.
I do too.
If that's not apparent by now, I don't know.
There's a lot of love.
There is a lot of love.
We do get overly excited to see one another when we don't see each other for a while.
Put cream on this other man's
back. Whoa!
Specify lotion. We can't use cream no more in this day.
Excuse me. It could have been whipped cream. I don't know what you were doing.
That's worse.
What are you trying to do, Andrew?
What are you doing here?
What? I'm just trying to show how much love you guys got between each other.
There's a fine line. It's the least he could do for bailing on me when it comes to the tattoo.
Yeah, that's true.
I was with you. I was grocery shopping.
You were there.
I held your hand.
Kenny G and all.
Honestly, all the people in Aldi were there with you because Kenny G was blasting out of my phone.
That's fantastic.
They're all looking at me.
That's the best part of it.
It was great. No, I do wish I was there.
All right, go ahead. Once again, we started off talking All-Star Game. First and foremost, kudos to Seattle for trying to convince Ohtani to come to Seattle last night.
That was great. Such a giant sales pitch.
That was great.
Between that and then
come
the Dodgers.
To Seattle.
Between that and the Dodgers had like a giant like two-page article in their paper basically with Mookie Betts being like, you know, L.A. is a wonderful place to be. And God, we would love to just have some of the best players here. Like,
love.
Totally. Okay, so I have a question for you guys because well, I just
hold
got.
Hold on. Get the pitch to the show. Are you guys ready to get started?
Hold on. Wait.
This is the prequel.
I just got a text.
Oh, okay.
Would you like to bring Sam on now?
Yeah, let's bring him on now.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Well, then let's bring on. Hold on a second. Let me.
You want to take a quick break?
No. Let's just get the man on the phone and dive right into it. Let's dive right into it. All right.
Well, while you're getting him on the phone, we'll kind of. So we're going to start talking about Northwestern football.
Yeah.
As we already talked about Monday, about the scandals that's been going on with the hazing and stuff like that. And then, of course, later on after we ended our show,
as it always happens,
the news broke that Pat Fitzgerald got fired.
Yes.
And so now that's a big, another big discussion.
Hold on a second. Let's make sure we got Sam. You got me?
I got you loud and clear.
There he is. Well, there he is.
Hey.
The voice of the Chicago Dogs. How's it going, Sam?
I'm great. How you fellas?
We are doing fantastic doing good, on this hump day.
That's right.
There it is.
Love it.
That's great. All right. Well, I guess let's just get right to it then. So obviously, Sam, with the all the stuff that's been going on with Northwestern football team, and then the firing of Pat Fitzgerald, we'll start it off with: were you kind of surprised to hear about this news break over the weekend? And then, was there anyone that you reached out to confirm or deny of this story?
So when the initial news broke, I mean, there were sort of three stages of it. I mean, first there was Northwestern itself coming out with, "Hey, we have done this internal investigation. We found some hazing. We're suspending Fitz for 2 weeks." And whether it was right or wrong, I didn't disregard. I mean, I read into it pretty thoroughly, but I just sort of blindly trusted, all right, like it must not be that big of a deal if they're only suspending him 2 weeks in the middle of July. You know, that's barely a slap on the wrist. So I didn't really think much of it at the time. And then when that Daily Northwestern article came out and I read the pretty gross allegations and alleging that Fitz had known about it and just detailing what had gone on in the program, that's when my eyebrows started to get pretty raised as like, holy moly, this is legit. And this is something that could actually take him down. So that's when my alarm bells first went up. Now, I never reached out to anyone in the program and confirmed or denied. Probably something I would have done if I was still a student journalist there. But now as an alum, a little more, you know, on the outside looking in, I just sort of followed the steps, which escalated really quickly. I mean, all of us alums got an email that night from the president saying, hey, we're aware of this report. Essentially, I might have erred in my original 2 week punishment. That might not have been enough. So at this point, I'm thinking, okay, he's going to get fired. I'd be stunned if he makes it through the week. And then on Monday afternoon, about 6 o'clock, he ends up getting fired, which, you know, the headline, Northwestern fired Pat Fitzgerald. As someone who grew up 20 minutes from Evanston, went to Northwestern, it's close with many in the program. I mean, I never thought I would read those words. And it clearly took something pretty severe like this to actually get him fired. So it's been sort of a shock these last few days. And honestly, it's kind of sad what's happening to the program, which, of course, over the last few years has had a sort of renaissance on the national stage.
Yeah, it's I'm right there with you, Sam. Andrew here. This obviously has to be pretty shocking for sure. Certainly, as somebody who went to Northwestern, and I'm sure you're a huge fan of the program and everything. This certainly is a shock, I think, to all of us, especially for you as somebody who was part of the journalism there at Northwestern and part of that program and everything. Was it shocking for you when the story kind of broke out? I mean, considering that this was this is a school that we've all kind of known is certainly considered like the Ivy League of the Midwest, especially by a lot of people. It's as such high standards for scholastics and everything, and even in the athletics as well. Was that a shock to you at all from being from that university and from the journalism program itself?
Yeah, well, it was a shock. I mean, from the journalism side of it, it was not a shock to me that this was broken by Northwestern student journalists. I mean, I know firsthand, like the Daily Northwestern, you know, they run their newsroom like a legit pro newsroom. So, you know, I think there are some people who maybe at first glance, oh, it's just a student paper. No, you know, this is a legit publication. They clearly did their due diligence, and Northwestern would not have fired Fitzgerald if it weren't legit story. So I honestly commend them for their reporting. But, you know, it was a shock because I think there's a tendency at a place like Northwestern to say, oh, we're not like other schools, right? We're a private institution. We have all these values. We do everything the right way. But then you learn of something like this, and it's a bombshell. It's like, wow, these are my classmates. These are people that I was in class with, that I covered. You know, I thought these were stand-up people, right? And, of course, at this stage, there's still allegations. I never saw anything. I'm not in a place to point fingers at anyone or say that one specific person on the football program is a bad dude now. Because I have no idea. I'm on the outside like you guys. But, yeah, as someone who comes from the Northwestern community, it's a shock. It's definitely a shock because, you know, you sort of imagine that this stuff goes on in other places, but I think at Northwestern, you think you're sheltered from that.
It came to a shock to a lot of us. You're a Northwestern grad. You know I love my Penn State, so I know what the Northwestern alum are going through right now, just the shock and the surprise of all this. But my question, I guess, Sam, is do you feel like this may have played a part in last year's disappointing season at all, or do you think those are two separate issues? Did that maybe lead to the journalism group from Northwestern digging in maybe a little deeper than they would have because of the bad record last year?
No, I don't think that has anything to do with anything. I mean, this story would have come out if they went 11-1 last year. You know, you as a journalist, you don't dig deep just because the team sucks. You know, you dig deep because someone comes to you with heavy allegations and you look into it, you do your due diligence. So I think, you know, it's a coincidence, right? Northwestern in the last 10 years has had seasons where they do really well and go to the Big Ten Championship and win a bowl game. And they've had seasons like last year where they go 0-11 in America with their only win coming in Ireland, you know, that it's a moot point, I think. The journalists would have, no matter what, right? We've seen bombshell stories come out of programs with a lot of wins, right? Like Penn State's one of them. Ohio State's another one of them. So you don't stop your digging because the team is good. And you don't start your digging because the team is bad. That's how I see it.
We're talking with Sam Brief here on Blow the Whistle on Sports Sound Shy, the Twitch stream. Sam, How do you see the university moving forward, hiring a new head coach? And is there someone that you can see moving into that position?
Yeah, so right now it's going to be David Braun, who is the defensive coordinator. Now, he's an interesting mix of someone who is technically a promotion from within because he is currently on staff as the defensive coordinator. He'll be the interim head coach. But he's really an outside hire. I mean, this is not someone who's been with Pat Fitzgerald. He's not coached a single game. So it is fresh blood from the outside. He was extremely successful at North Dakota State. Of course, anyone who knows college football knows North Dakota State is a powerhouse. I mean, they are like the Alabama of FCS. They've won more national championships than I can count in my lifetime. So David Braun's coming over from there. Comes from a winning program, regardless of the level. And I think for now, he's just going to bring that stability. Frankly, before Northwestern looked for the new guy from the outside, they've got to figure out what's happening on the inside. They just announced the rest of the staff will be retained. They've got to figure out how many of their players are going into the portal and just sort of right the ship there. Coming from the outside, once they do look for a new full-time head football coach, I think David Braun is going to be a candidate, no doubt. But outside of that, they're going to need some experience because, yeah, Northwestern's a good job on paper. You know, it's a Big Ten school in Chicago, great facilities with that lakeside practice center. They've got an $800 million Ryan Field renovation coming, but now it's messy. So you need someone who's probably a little older, who's probably already led a Power 5 college football program. But those are not a dime a dozen. So I don't have a specific name I would think would be a candidate, but I would reckon it's got to be someone with major head football coaching experience to lead what's now sort of a mess.
Yeah, there seems to be it's one of those things where you got to get your house in order before you start bringing people in to try and fix it for sure. I mean, and we've heard a lot of names. Obviously, you've got, from what I've heard lately, it's been like Jim Leonard from Wisconsin's one. We even heard, obviously, Mike Kafka, the OC from the Giants right now. He's obviously an alumni of Northwestern. I remember seeing him play. I don't know, how would you feel about Kafka coming in, or Jim Leonard, or any one of those guys possibly coming in, a former NFL player maybe coming into Northwestern to maybe kind of be the new coach? Do you think that would be able to make that transition a little bit easier, you think?
I'm open to anyone. I mean, Jim Leonard, frankly, you know, I grew up as a Wisconsin fan, so I follow that program really closely. He's awesome, right? And he is a great, great coach and was certainly a candidate to get that job. So he's someone who understands how it's done in a really well-run program. I mean, Wisconsin, yeah, they haven't won national championships, but just about as good as it gets for winning football that stays scandal-free and at least from what I can tell from the outside, is run the right way. Mike Kafka, you've got someone who knows Northwestern well. So I do expect them to go with someone who has Big Ten or Northwestern roots. I mean, look, this program has been run by a Northwestern alum since 2006. So to go quickly from a guy like Pat Fitzgerald to the great unknown and someone maybe from the SEC would be a little jarring, which is why, as you mentioned with those two names, I think you probably stick with someone with feet as Big Ten, if not Northwestern.
Yeah, I totally agree. I at least for now. I mean, before you start going to the big passing attack, you know, kind of a Mike Leach type of offense that Northwestern probably should be moving to, but that's just my opinion. But you mentioned the stadium, the building of this, of the new stadium and all that stuff and all the plans they have to kind of renovate things. A lot of money's been talked about getting poured into that. How do you see this, the firing of Fitzgerald and these allegations, how do you see that potentially affecting these plans moving forward, you think, for the new stadium and the new facilities and all that stuff that they were trying to pour into the football team?
I don't think it will have much an effect. Now, there's been some rumbling in the last few days about some Evanston residents and members of the community looking for a more thorough Pat Fitzgerald Stadium. You know, this is Northwestern Football Stadium, and Northwestern football is bigger than Pat Fitzgerald, as much as many people conflate the two over the last couple decades, and I'm one of them. I mean, listen, I was close with Fitz over the years. I still think he's a good man. He very much still is the face of Northwestern football, just for what he accomplished as a player. Today, this was the university project, and yes, the university's got to get some stuff in order. We've got to figure out what the future of the football program is. We've got to sort out some issues to make sure that these sort of scandals don't come out again. But at the end of the day, if the money's there and the community allows for this to be built, it's going to be built. I don't think one scandal and the firing of one football coach will set back the building of an $800 million stadium. So, you know, Ryan Field is falling apart. It's got to be done sooner rather than later. So I don't know why you would have a scandal get in the way of that.
It's an interesting, I agree. Yeah. Being a person that's been there a couple of times in the last couple of years, the renovations are much needed.
And you hear that money.
our last question about all this, and then we're going to move on to what you have the passion for, and that's some Chicago Dogs talk here, Sam. But do you believe that there is a way that moving forward, colleges can police these sort of issues and allegations moving forward?
Well, I think it's about policing locker room behavior. And it really just starts at the root level, and from the top. And that's why so many people said it doesn't really matter if Pat Fitzgerald knew about what was going on, because either way, it's a fireable offense. Either he knew, and that's bad, or he didn't know, and that's also bad, because as the head football coach, you have to know what's going on. As the teacher of a classroom, you have to know what's going on with your students. There can't be mystery. So I think when you talk about policing, it's less about policing, and it's more about just knowing what is going on, having lines of communication between head football coach, assistant football coaches, captains, the rest of the team, reporting process. When things happen, you need systems in place. If you don't have systems in place, stuff's going to fall through the cracks and people are going to get hurt. And sometimes it might be in smaller ways, right? Like this is a pretty big one because sexual abuse allegedly was involved. But even if it's smaller things, you've got to be on that as a head football coach. So when I see effective reporting policies and a systematic approach, that's when I see success. So what I think needs to be done in the future at Northwestern, and other programs need to read about this and say, all right, we got to get our house in order. You need effective reporting systems and just open lines of communication to make sure that people aren't acting in these heinous ways that get people hurt.
I completely agree. All right, Sam, now it's time to talk dogs, buddy. Sitting at 500 right now, or a game over 500 after last night's win?
After last night, a game over 500, 27 and 26.
All right. This is, let me ask you this. Have they met, exceeded, or fallen a little short in your eyes of the expectations coming into this year?
It's both, honestly. I mean, they exceeded my expectations for the first 18 games. Dogs were 14-4. They had the best record in the association by far. It seemed like they'd never lose. And then over the last month and a half or so, they've gone 13-22. So just above a 333 win percentage. So I would say for a month they exceeded, and then for a month and a half they have fallen short of that, which worked out to a pretty average team, right? They're about 500 right now. And I do think they're better than that. There have been some pitching issues over the last few weeks that they'll get sorted out. But this team has enough talent to win. I mean, if the season ended today, they'd be in the playoffs as the 2 seed in the East. So they're good enough to compete. But overall, it's just been a rocky roller coaster of a season, my man.
I think the one thing that has impressed me while being there and watching the Dogs play this year is their speed on the base path. They have unbelievable base stealing ability on this team this year.
Yeah, they do. I mean, the headline, of course, is Nick Heath, who leads the team third in the league in steals. I mean, he's a guy who's done it at the big league level, but really goes up and down. I mean, Matt Botcher has not been caught this year. Josh Altman stole another base. He's got 14. He hasn't been caught this year. They're just a smart base stealing team. And Joe Dominic, who's the hitting coach and coordinates a lot of the base running, he says that after pitching and defense, base running is the most important thing. And he's got his team with really smart base runners. Even the guys who aren't the headline speed demons, like a Ryan Lidge or a Luke Mangieri or a Cody Bohanic, those are smart base runners. And that can be just as valuable.
Sam, I mean, we're already like towards the end of the season, and I figured this would be something that we should have asked you like earlier, but obviously we never got the chance to. But like, so with the pitch clock and everything, that was like a huge change in this season, and the big talk was just in MLB, but this came in AAU baseball. So I want to get your thoughts on how do you feel about with the pitch clock and how that's really changed the game for the Dogs, if that's benefited them or if this has just kind of really been a little bit out of sorts.
It's my best friend. I mean, the average game time has been down by 30 minutes. So last year we played about 3:10 on average. This year it's been 2:45 on average. That's pretty significant. I mean, last night's game, 23 runs, extra innings, a type of game that could be 5 hours last year. This is barely 3.5 this year, which is really not that long. For an extra inning game. So it's been my best friend, but here's the thing. I love baseball. I love calling baseball. So it's not like I'm in a rush to get out. What it really does, when I say I like a shorter game, it really means the action is just more condensed. It means if you're going to have, let's say, 4 home runs, 2 diving catches, 3 stolen bases, 7 strikeouts, all this great action and the stuff we love as baseball fans, it's happening in this condensed game, right? It's not being spread out with 20-minute waits in between pieces of action. You get action, and then you wait a little, and then you get more action. Then you wait a little, and then you get more action. So I'm loving the pitch clock. Teams, players, and coaches alike have already adjusted to it really well. And it's certainly here to stay, both at the big league level and at the American Association.
I totally agree, Sam. I'm right there with you. I've watched the Dogs since the very first season of it, and I was helping out working with them and stuff. So to see that these new rules came in, I think it fits the game perfectly for the AA because it's that kind of a baseball. You see guys hit home runs, but you don't see them hitting crushing home runs. So I think it's absolutely perfect. And I agree. The pitch clock is my best friend as well, as I think it is for everybody. I think a lot of people certainly love it. Sam, obviously with the Dogs, they're still in it. They're still fighting hard for a chance to get in there and get a wild card seed potentially. But from this team, from what you've seen all throughout this season, who do you think has been like the most valuable player for this team? You know, or even players, if there is more than one, who do you think has been that guy or those guys that this team can certainly always say we can depend on them?
Then Josh Altman and Ryan Lidge, those are right next to each other as the most valuable. I mean, Josh is the guy who's the headline, right? But the offensive numbers are just ridiculous. He leads the league in OPS, 15 home runs. He has two out, 2 strike home runs last night. Dogs don't win that game without him. I mean, the dude's offense by itself has been enough to be the Dogs' MVP. But let's not forget Ryan Lidge. I mean, this is a 300 hitter who's good for some power, who's also the best defensive catcher in the league. So when you have someone who is so valuable at the most important defensive position, plus is a good offensive bat, plus is a veteran leader in the clubhouse, you have another MVP. So that's why I would say Josh Altman and Ryan Lidge, sort of the co-MVPs of the Dogs first half.
I don't have a cool nickname for Josh Altman yet. I have one for Ryan Legge. I call him the human mannequin because I feel like he should be in the storefront. He's always like matching, and then he's got the cool bats. So that's always my favorite. But he's no longer my favorite name on the team. We told Andrew the other day of our favorite name on the team, and Andrew about lost it, thought we were kind of joking. But General MacArthur the Fourth has to take the cake. That has to be one for you too, Sam. You must absolutely enjoy that.
Well, I'm a history nut too. I've read all about Douglas MacArthur. So when I saw that we signed a player named General MacArthur, I was hyped. And I couldn't wait to get on the field and meet him. And I learned all about his name and how it's actually spelled differently, because the general spells it M-A-C. He spells it M-C-A. It's a family name that started with his great-grandfather well before Douglas MacArthur was even famous. So it's awesome. And the cherry on top, he's General MacArthur the Fourth. What number does he wear? Four. Perfect.
It's my favorite number. It's the other reason.
Fantastic. I love that.
I loved every bit of that. All right. Well, Sam, we appreciate you coming on with us just to talk a little bit, getting a little insight of personal insight from being a Northwestern student. And of course, talking about your profession and what you're great at doing with the Chicago Dogs, dude. We hope to see you at Impact Field soon. And again, appreciate you making your time for us today, man.
Of course, guys. I'll see you this weekend. Thank you all.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks so much.
That was Sam Brief, voice of the Chicago Dogs. You guys can see him all the time at Impact Field. You guys go to a game at all. Just great stuff to kind of get a little bit of what his thoughts were with the whole Northwestern scandal, the biggest story. A lot of just interesting stuff to hear, to get from him, really.
That was great.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. No,
that was, I enjoyed
that.
That's
great insight from Sam. Yeah. I love everything that he has to say about, you know, especially the, I think that is, as an alum for me, would be the biggest issue is like, all right, we've now talked about sinking all this money into the sports program.
Right.
Yeah.
Are we moving forward?
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, when he says billion, that's the thing. It's like, you're not talking million. You're talking
billion.
That is a lot of money to suddenly say, okay, we have to shift that over. Like, how do you do that? Like, that's the thing. But at the same time, I totally am. I understand what he's saying too. Like
Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
But yeah, that's, I thank you again, Sam Brief. We appreciate it, man.
No, appreciate it.
That was awesome.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, when we come back, we are going to talk about the two hot garbage divisions in the MLB. We're going to talk a little bit about the All-Star break. Where are these teams sitting at in the halfway midpoint season? All that next here on Blow the Whistle on twitch.tv/sportstownshy.